Welcome to Lawmen, a podcast about local legends and obscure curiosities from days of yore. I'm James Shakeshaft.
And I'm Alistair Beckett King.
Oh, and today we've got a real treat. It's called The Devil and Jeremiah Stone.
The Devil and Jeremiah Stone?
It sounds like a, I don't know, a Western.
I think it sounds like one of those 70s folk horror films.
Oh, yeah, that's a good, yes.
And there'd be like some topless ladies in it.
Oh, yes, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Watch that with your uncle.
You said that as though that was a phrase, like a how's your father sort of thing. What's that with your uncle?
Yeah, edit that bit out.
This story, Alistair,
yes,
is called Jeremiah Stone and the Devil.
You really raised your eyes as if to say, beat that.
Yeah, I did. And
Jeremiah Stone and the Devil.
Jeremiah Stone and the Devil.
The name of my student band.
Was it just you and one other guy?
Yeah, I was the Devil.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Couldn't play any instruments.
What would the Devil play? Well, the Devil plays rock and roll, famously.
As well.
He plays the fiddle?
Yeah, he plays the fiddle.
Really?
Yeah, like Devil went down to Georgia. No, someone went down to Georgia. And then, you know, you play the competition with the Devil to see who can play the violin best.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you taught that guy how to play guitar.
Oh, yeah. He taught Robert Johnson how to play guitar.
He's a multi-instrumentalist.
Of course he is.
Yeah. Except the bass.
It would be a skeleton on bass, wouldn't it? Sort of like boom, 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 boom. Like
was
a
that a double
skeleton.
Bass or an electric bass?
Oh, I was playing. No, it was a double bass. Yeah, I was playing a double bass.
Okay.
Yeah, like, no, if it were a double bass, I would have done a kind of skeleton funk. Mm. Like a sort of...
Can you slap if you've got just bones?
It's risky. You can do it five times.
You could do that slide thing, though, I guess. Slide guitar if you're a skeleton. Very easy. You don't need to get a bottle.
No grazing. So what's the story?
This is from the Civil War of England. The English Civil War. At the time of recording, the First English Civil War.
Oh, very satirical.
Yeah, that was a little look as well I did to say. Satire. Yeah, I'm moving into satire now.
Oh, I like it.
So, Jeremiah Stone was a corporal of the Dragoons.
Oh, Captain of the Dragons.
Yes. So they were a military...
Were they like a cross-dressing version of the Goons?
No! The word Dragoon, apparently, is named after the handgun that they carried.
Oh.
Which was a French name for dragon.
So dragoons are just
the
dragons.
Guns.
It is just dragon said weirdly.
Yeah, said in a sort of mocking French tone, I guess.
The next village along from my village in Durham was called Dragonville.
No.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Was it renamed for Game of Thrones?
It's been called that the whole time.
What?
But all there is like a carpet outlet and a big Tesco extra. There's no dragon. There's no pot of gold.
I think, to use his technical name, it's Pot-O-Gold.
I'm so sorry. An Irish dragon.
Yeah.
Have you confused leprechauns with dragons?
Oh, yeah. It's the green. That's really racist, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just
you can't tell
colour.
Two different fantasy creatures apart.
Yeah, because they're the same colour. It's either the gun or it was something like German or Dutch for to carry. Is called like Trogon or something like that, or Tragoon or something. And they think it might be something to do with that because they were on horseback. And they were kind of like a sort of budget version of the cavalry. They were like infantry on a horse as opposed to gentry on a horse.
Right.
And then what they do is they ride up to the battle and then get off and fight. So this, Jeremiah Stone, he was dragooning in the Battle of Edge Hill, which was Civil War. It's Warwickshire.
Oh, right.
This is from a book... Ghosts of Warwickshire.
That's a very familiar cover there, James.
Yeah,
it's the same cover of all the other books.
It's the same as Ghosts of Oxfordshire and Ghosts of Derbyshire.
It's a complete scam. They think you're never going to go to a different county and realise that they're pulling a fast one.
It's still the wrong shape that the skeleton in the hooded robe is pointing to.
That's outrageous.
But this one's got a different background colour. The other ones were sort of purpley.
Oh.
And this is a blue, a sky blue.
Oh, how respectful of Ghosts of Warwickshire.
That must be just like the only bit of clip art of ghost. To say, I need the idea of a county and a ghost. And
a ghost pointing at a map.
Yeah.
Hey, if it ain't broke.
So yeah, this happened during the Battle of Edge Hill, Civil War, 1642. Battle of Edge Hill is got a lot of spooks and spectres associated with it, which I've earmarked to do another time. That's just like a little... There's some spooky stuff to do with the Battle of Edge Hill. So Edge Hill's in Warwickshire. It's not too far from my sort of hometown and whatnot. So there's a lot of Civil War stuff around my hometown because Oxford was the base of the king during the Civil War.
Oh, yeah. Well, which Charles?
Yeah, Charles the
First.
Yes, at the time of recording. John Hampden came from Thame. Do you know who he is?
No.
He was... I don't know exactly the story, but he was someone...
He lived in a den of ham.
He was something to do with the Roundheads. He protested against some sort of tax or something like that in Parliament, and it was one of the things that led to the Civil War, this guy, John Hampden.
Good for him. I feel very torn because aesthetically... I'm a Cavalier because I've got long, sort of flowing locks. But politically, I'm a parliamentarian. Mm. I think we should have killed... I'm glad they killed the king. Mm. Should have kept killing them. Keep making them just to kill them, but they didn't. No. But the other side of it is that Oliver Cromwell was just... he was just the worst. Like, if Oliver Cromwell had just been not a complete misery who banned dancing and Christmas and parties and fun, we could have... been the first republic in the world.
Mm.
Possibly. I haven't checked. We could have been the best republic in the world. We could have been Great Britain.
At the time of recording, we could have made Britain great.
We could have made Britain great for the first time.
For the first time.
But we didn't, because Oliver Cromwell just had to be...
too much of a grump.
Just apparently he liked practical jokes, though.
Really?
Mm. It doesn't fit in with the rest of his personality, but he was a big practical joker.
Was that the Christmas thing? Was it a practical joke that got out of hand? Was it, like, he gearing up to do the big sort of reveal?
And then they killed him.
But, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and he was like, I haven't really cancelled Christmas, it was a joke.
Ah, really?
Puritanism was a gag.
So,
the Civil War.
So, Civil War connections around the area. Oxford, base of the king. John Hampden from Thame, died in Thame. There's...
Sorry, that's the slogan of people from Thame. From Thame, die in Thame.
There was a pub in Thame called the King's Head. And during the Civil War thing, it was a Republican town.
Really?
Yes, because of John Hampden.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And a Cavalier was hanged from the sign outside the King's Head. And they realised they should probably change the name as that. And it's now called the Nag's Head.
Oh, great.
Don't know if that's a pun on Oliver Cromwell being a grump.
A bit annoying.
He's a bit annoying. A bit much.
Are you dancing?
Stop that dancing. He's played by Richard O'Addy as well. Or Ken Livingstone, I'm not sure. I never know. And last Civil War connection, Ashmolean Museum in Oxford has John Higgs's big shoe.
My other student band name, John Higgs's big shoe. Isn't that what they were trying to find at the CERN accelerator?
Well, it's made out of 1,000 pieces of leather.
I knew it was going to be big.
It was a big shoe.
1,000 pieces of leather.
Yeah, so what he was, John Higgs, he was from Dinton, which is around sort of Buckinghamshire area, and he was the clerk to Judge Mayne, who was one of the judges who passed sentence on Charles I.
Oh, right.
And after the Restoration, John Higgs became a recluse. And he moved out of his house into a cave.
I was hoping you were going to say into a shoe.
Into a big shoe.
he moved out of his house into a cave.
And he became a beggar, but he only asked for scraps of leather and that he would nail them to his clothes and shoes.
Right.
And he apparently kept three bottles slung around his waist, one with strong beer, one with small beer, and one with milk.
Mm.
So it was milk, beer, bit, and presumably round the corner chocolate was made. and the rumour was that he was one of the executioners of the king, because I think no one actually knows who they were.
So the idea, I guess, is that this is his sort of penance.
Yes.
So how big was the shoe?
I don't know. I've not been to see it.
And it's just one shoe?
It's only one of the shoes, one of his shoes.
Oh, so there was a second shoe.
Yeah, which I guess was also big.
Hmm.
But this one had over 1,000 pieces of leather. But they could be very small.
Mm.
Yeah, John Higgs's big shoe. That was a little sidebar about Civil War memorabilia.
Whoa. You're telling me that John Higgs's big shoe isn't the main feature?
No, this isn't like one of them jokes where the big shoe comes into play at the end of the joke.
He's been murdered with just a massive footprint on his back. Lie at the suspects.
Back to the Battle of Edge Hill. Jeremiah Stone, a dragoon, mounted infantry. he gets injured in the battle. His leg is wounded and he falls to the ground amongst the bodies of the dead and dying. And the battle finishes. Fun fact. Fun fact. Most fun facts aren't fun.
It had better be fun, considering we're on a battlefield and everyone's dying.
It was very bitter cold that night after the battle, and it meant that more people survived because the frost kind of
froze the wounds.
The wounds.
Oh, yeah, they must have been. They must have been laughing so much at that fun fact. They must have been just rolling around, side splitting.
Yeah.
Slightly less than they would have been.
Yes.
They must have just been absolutely tickled pink about the fact that their wounds froze shut.
Mm.
How lucky are we?
And slightly less chance of infection.
Winner!
So Jeremiah Stone, he was wounded in his leg, and that didn't stop him from raiding the bodies of the people in the battlefield.
Many of whom we know are still alive, just watching him do it.
Yep. And he put it all in a leather bag, and then he made his way to Warwick, and he got all the way to the Anchor Inn in Warwick.
Jingling, like when you've got lots of change in your pocket.
I hate that. Also, I don't like a wallet that has a coin purse function in it.
Why is that?
I don't know, but I'm very much on the anti-coins in a wallet brigade.
The coin section in my wallet, I mean, this is going to be top content, so make sure in editing to keep this bit in.
Mm-hmm.
The coin pocket in my old wallet broke, so I spent a year with no coins in my wallet, and it was nightmarish.
Really?
And I've just got a new wallet made of cork, and now I can put coins in it again.
How many, though? That's like a normal-sized wallet.
Just a handful. Just two or three. A few pound coins.
Mm.
Downside, though, I use the contactless payments all the time.
Mm.
Doesn't work through cork.
Doesn't it?
That's why you don't make wallets out of wood.
Oh.
I feel like an idiot. My wooden wallet.
Yeah.
My mahogany wallet. Carting it around train stations.
Yeah. And your ebony checkbook holder.
how many checks do you think I write?
Well, none.
No, absolutely none. Because it's made of
difficult.
Wood. It's made of wood.
So, yeah, he got to the Anchor Inn. He rested up there. What his plan was to rest up for a few days, get his strength back, and then get out of there and start spending his ill-gotten gains.
You're doing the making it rain mine.
Yes, but imagining that these little rings, because it was jewellery and bits of gold.
Pinging off into people's eyes.
Yeah.
And faces.
And he kept his leather bag, like, under his pillow. And then the morning came and his leg was worse. It had obviously thawed out at this point. And he couldn't even get out of bed. But the landlady was very kind to him, and she dressed his wound and offered to look after him. And he was so grateful, and he tied his leather bag up really tightly, and he said to her, "Can you put this somewhere safe? Maybe in a security cupboard. I want it back as soon as I'm well, and I'll pay you very well for looking after me and looking after my special leather sack." So she took it, promised to keep it safe, told her husband, they opened the bag, they looked in, they found all these gold and jewels, and they kind of realised what must have happened. Wounded guy, the Battle of Edgehill's just happened, we've got probably blood-stained jewellery right
here. Oh, yeah. Still fingers in the rings.
Yeah.
Still wrists in the bracelets.
Yeah.
Probably a big leather shoe.
A bit of bum still on the wallet.
There's bum on this wallet. It's still good. Clean it off. Is it made of wood?
Is it a wipe clean wood? You need to lacquer your wallet, sir. So Jeremiah fell into a fever, and after a few days he came out of it and he regained his strength, and he was like, "Right, I need to get out of here." Said to the landlady, "Can I have my leather sack?" She said, "What's that, mate?"
Oh, I'm on her side now.
And he's like, "I gave you my leather bag." She's like, "Don't know what you're talking about. You've had a fever. You know, you are chatting nonsense. You still feel ill." "No, I gave you my leather sack. Where is it?"
"Do you mean like a big giant leather shoe?"
"Yeah.
Because we've got loads of those around here."
"No, I want it back." And she said, "No, also, you owe me for staying in the pub."
That's when she went too far.
Food and lodging.
That's a little cheeky.
Yeah. Well, he was furious, obviously. But what can he do? He can't get the police in.
No.
They've stolen my stolen goods.
Also, it's the Civil War and they don't exist.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So there's two reasons he can't call the police.
Two major reasons.
Whoop, whoop, sound of nothing yet for hundreds of years.
Till the peelers.
Do you know what I said to Rachel the other day?
Mm?
Quack, quack, Sound of the Duck Police. And we laughed for about 40 minutes. So it doesn't need to be a good joke when you're in a relationship. Quack, quack, Sound of the Duck Police. It's the sound of all ducks. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, it could be undercover, then.
Quoop, quoop. Is that what the Duck Police would sound like?
Quan, quan. Quan, it's the French quan. Duck Police. It's the duck gendarmerie.
Arrête! Pam, pour moi.
Oh, nice.
Bread for me. Yeah,
that's good.
That's what a duck would say.
You've got a working level of duck-based French.
My duck French is unparalleled.
It's like pigeon English.
Do you know, have we talked about the origin of the phrase pigeon English on this before? Do you know it?
I presume it's racist, to be honest.
It's racist.
Yeah, sorry.
It comes from, I think, Chinese or possibly Japanese businessmen. So apparently it's a mispronunciation of the word business.
Mm.
So it's business English, but said in, I think, a Chinese accent. So the English people, when the Chinese people who were learning English were saying, we've learned business English, meaning a sort of functional level of English, to the ears of the guys who thought that Beijing was called Peking and all the rest of it, when they said business, it sounded like pigeon. And they went, ho, 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 ho. These people who've just learned our language sound a bit funny when they talk it. Let's make fun of them forever by coining a new word for people who don't speak English very well. But I don't understand how business can possibly sound like pigeon. The only sound they have in common is the I. But how does an S become an N?
I don't know about that one, mate.
No matter how racistly you try and say the word business, it doesn't sound like pigeon.
Yeah, go on.
And if you want to listen to the Lawman Extra podcast,
the final podcast before we were cancelled,
for our Patreon subscribers can hear all the racist
our Patreon subscribers.
We never bothered setting up a Patreon. We probably should.
Might be listened to in the future when we have got Patreon subscribers,
in which case there would be no extra racism for the Patreons. Yeah. Just to clarify, I'm not holding up that promise.
No extra racism.
Just the normal amount.
Yeah. So...
I feel like I may have derailed you slightly. Pigeon English. Pigeon duck French. So
quack,
she
quack
said...
Quack is the sound of the duck police. She... Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know why I find that so amusing.
I like it. And you can tell the difference. There's two different types of...
Sorry, I'm still laughing at the duck thing. It's really bad.
Duck gendarmerie. There's some duck gendarmeries carry a gun, and the other ones are just like city-based duck.
Oh, they're not the gendarmes. I think the gendarmes always are the ones with guns, aren't they?
Because that's probably what
arm.
It means.
Arm. Yeah, I think so. I think it's la police, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah. La police.
I like the way Europe can't agree on anything, but it can agree that the police all have a name that sounds very basically like police. In every European country, it's like police, police, the police in Glasgow.
Apart from Ireland.
Oh, yeah, it's Garda.
Garda.
Come on, Ireland.
Come on, Ireland. Just a little shout of support. What's he going to do? Who's he going to get on side to say, can you help me to get back the stuff that I stole from dead bodies? Like, he's talking about the pub. He's talking about the landlord and landlady of the pub. Everyone loves them.
Yeah.
He's new in town, Jeremiah Stone. He's just shown up with a limp. So what he does, he waits until nightfall and then tries to break in to the inn because he knows...
Yeah, because they're not crooks. They're not going to be able to fence it straight away, are they?
No, they've still got it and they're going to probably, you know, eke out or whatever. He knows he could probably get into that security cupboard. He broke open a window and began to ease himself in.
And this is a hotel window, so we know that they don't open very far. So he's really having to Eugene Toombs his way through a narrow gap here.
Yes, good reference.
That's another argument I have with Rachel all the time. When we go out and the windows open a crack, and she says, close the window. And every single time I say, who do you think's going to break in? Eugene Toombs. And she says, yes, and then I have to go and close the window, because that is what she thinks is going to happen.
Fair enough. But only once every 7 years.
We don't know where they are on the cycle, James.
That's true. Anyway, they were waiting for him or Eugene Toombs. They got him and they pulled him in. And they called, well, whoever the equivalent of the police were.
Bailiffs, maybe?
Sheriff?
He was
arrested, chucked in the cells, waiting for the Azizes.
That's one of the words that I've never said aloud. I've only ever seen it written down. Azizes.
Azizes.
And the only person I've heard say it is you. What is...
The Azizes. As far as I understand...
What are Azazas?
It's invented by Tommy Cooper. Azizas. They were like a sort of a monthly trial, weren't they? It's like basically... Whenever someone did something that was considered, they were like, that's probably illegal in a town, they get put in a cell and held until the judge came round.
And I've seen these cells in most places. They're just like, they're like one little tower in the middle of nowhere, just a one story tower in the middle of the town, just like a single cell on its own that you would be stuck in. Presuming that two people wouldn't commit a crime during the same period.
There were a lot less people back then, and a lot less laws, maybe. I don't know. So, yeah, he was flung in the jail, spelt G-A-O-L.
I like it.
Gaol. I really thought it was called Gaol.
Yeah.
Everyone did, right? Also, I don't know if Azizas is the right way of saying it.
Azizas?
I think I had to say it in a play, and no one ever corrected me, so I really hope it's pronounced Azizas, because it's one of the words I've said to the most people. Yeah, so he's in jail, waiting for the judge to come round and pass judgment. One night in jail. One night. That's definitely not how you pronounce it.
One night in jail.
One night in jail.
One night in jail.
The devil appeared before Jeremiah Stone and said, look, Jeremiah, I can get you out of this. All I need, standard devil deal, is your soul. And Jeremiah said, thanks, but no thanks. Actually, that doesn't normally happen in these stories, does it? He's like, I think I need my soul, even though I'm a body robber. What's the word for that? There is a word for...
Well, it's a bit like grave robbing.
It's like grave
robbing. They weren't yet in a grave.
No.
There must be a word for corpse filching. It's not corpse filcher, but...
Oh, good.
That one's available.
I think look that up on Urban Dictionary before you say it again. But the devil was all right with this. Weirdly enough, for the devil, you'd think he'd be angry, but turns out he's all right. He says, you're going to need a lawyer because they're going to try you. Right?
Just starts giving him advice.
Yeah, free legal advice. He says, tell you what. He says, you're going to have a trial. It's your right to have someone speak for you. And when you're in court, say you ask to have someone speak to you and look for a bloke with a red hat and a feather in it and say that he's going to be the person to speak for you. Ooh. And then he disappeared.
Oh,
yeah. And so...
Starting to think the devil might get what he wants in the end anyway.
A few days later, Jeremiah Stone standing in the dock. It's not looking good for him, but he remembered what the devil said, and he said, Judge, I believe it is my right that I have someone speak for me.
That's suspiciously handsome gentleman.
Like... That guy in the... Yeah, with red hat and the feather. I'm imagining Bowie in the end of... The Man Who Fell to Earth kind of vibe.
Yeah, sort of, oh, he's charming and well-spoken, clearly an educated man, but nobody around here has seen him before.
Has someone got some rotten eggs?
You never hear about brimstone in any other context.
No one
mentions brimstone. It must be a type of stone.
It's inefficient as well, just to use the brim. What about the rest of the stone?
They
just chuck it back in the sea. Chuck it back in the quarry. Yeah, so he picked him out, and of course... It was the devil. He stood up and he told...
Whoa. Sorry, that guy was the devil.
Yeah. Red hat.
All right.
And he said...
Okay.
He stood up and he gave a very eloquent defence of not defence. He explained what had happened, which obviously involves telling them that this guy was corpse filcher. For want of a better word. Safe search on for that one, guys.
Did you mean... No! I remember what I said, Google.
No, thank you. And he said... If this is true, if my client's telling the truth, then you just need to go to the Anchor Inn and have a look for a leather bag. It's probably going to be in a security cupboard. And if it was there, then that's proof that the landlord and landlady stole this guy's leather bag. And hearing this, the landlord stood up and said, no, that's not true. May the devil take me if I ever had a bag like that. And the devil...
Really embarrassing with him being in the room.
The devil whooped... Turned back into the devil, grabbed the landlord and flew up into the air with him over the courtroom, and they hovered over the marketplace before finally disappearing, leaving behind them, according to passers-by, a very great stink.
Whoop, sound of the devil.
Apparently to this day, above the marketplace in Warwick,
it stinks.
It just stinks.
Are you going to do something about this? The councilor's like, it's the devil.
It's the ghost of the devil.
It was the ghost of the devil.
And the struggling ghost of the landlord grasped in the iron hands of the devil. And apparently this was reported in a pamphlet in 1642 where John Finch, a shoemaker, says he doth testify to its truth, being an eyewitness of same.
Mm. So how big were the shoes that gun made?
We don't know. We do not know. But it's come full circle. Yeah.
What a story. That was a really good story.
Yes.
Also, it's got a real twisteroo.
Real twisteroo, right?
Real twisteroo. Like, you've got your eyes on him the whole time. You weren't looking at the landlord.
Yeah. Now it's score time.
I'm ready to give you some scores.
Good. Let's go first with Supernatural.
Ooh, okay. Well, it's high.
It starts off so... It's like From Dusk Till Dawn. It starts off very normal, apart from a very big shoe. And then, all of a sudden...
Is there a big shoe in From Dusk Till Dawn?
I don't know, actually. I haven't watched it for a while. Doesn't a big shoe show up in all of Tarantino's films because of his famous big shoe thing? Something like that, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
You're right. It eases you in. No, it doesn't ease you in. It's completely, completely naturalistic. And then, ping, the devil appears.
Shazam!
With that noise.
Yeah, probably. He offers to represent someone as a lawyer for no fee.
Yeah, that's pretty unlikely.
That's not
yeah.
natural.
He flies up in the air. Mm. He produces a great big stink in Warwickshire.
And now there's a ghost of it as well.
Mm.
Didn't expect that. He's the devil.
It's pretty high. I'm trying to think of a natural explanation for what could have happened. So let's say the devil story isn't true.
Mm.
And that guy in the red hat was just a helpful passerby.
Mm.
But how do they fly through the ceiling?
How do they?
I can't explain that. Ropes.
How do they cause a great stink?
In over the marketplace.
Mm.
There's no explanation for it other than it was old jumping Jack Satan.
Yes, to use one of his many names. Yep, so...
It's 5 out of 5.
It's five out of five.
It's an extremely supernatural story. You've got a ghost and Satan.
Keeping on a Satan tip.
That's what I always say to the kids. Hey, kids, keeping on a Satan tip. And they say, You what? What do you say?
Do you say that on from a motorbike?
I said from a motorbike.
Because
that
has the Doppler effect as you go by.
Keep it on a center. I pause. It's when I'm pausing at the lights and I look left and right and there's like three kids in a jalopy. I'm like, hey, kids, keep it on a Satan tip.
Mim.
I go, mim. And then I rev the motorbike.
Yeah. This category, devil's advocate. Devil's advocacy.
Devil's advocacy. I mean, that is a well-tailored category.
Yeah.
It's making me think of the film Devil's Advocate.
Yes.
With Alistair Pacino.
Yes.
And, Kenneth Reeves. And presumably a woman.
Charlize Theron.
Is it Charlize Theron?
Charlize Theron, yes.
How sexist of me to forget that Charlize Theron was in that film. Well, what's that film is like this. Because
yes. The devil, because it's got a lawyer in it.
But also because it's a revisionist take on the devil. He's not all horns and spikes.
No.
He's Al Pacino.
Mm.
It's like, oh, I'm devil.
Yeah.
That's not a very good Al Pacino impression, but I think you see where I'm going there.
Yeah.
That's a better impression, yeah.
Six.
Can we just edit in a good Al Pacino impression over my grumbling noises?
Just Al Pacino. Although he can't do it anymore, I don't think. I saw him the other at the BAFTAs.
You saw him the other day?
I saw him the other day on the telly.
Down your local.
On the BAFTAs.
In the post office.
I don't think he can do a good Al Pacino anymore.
I'm just doing the arms. I can't do the voice.
Yeah, devilish advocacy.
Devilish advocacy. Well, he's the devil and he's a lawyer.
Mm.
What a pitch.
Yeah.
I just can't bring myself to give you 2 5s out of 5, but...
I think it's going to be 5s all the way, baby. Why don't you give me 3 6s?
Yeah, to avoid that, just for security purposes, I'm going to... It's 5 out of 5 for devil's advocacy.
Yes! Names.
Okay, there's 2 band
names. Jeremiah Stone.
Jeremiah Stone and the Devil, and what John Hamm and his big slippers.
The anchor in John Higgs' big shoe. And it's not...
John Higgs' big shoe.
John Higgs' big shoe. And in relation to the devil as well, he must have given himself a name. Like, in Devil's Advocate, I love the names that they give, that the devil takes in films. They're so obvious. The Devil's Advocate one is John Milton, which is the most complex one.
That's obvious.
No.
The diabolical
have you
connection
seen
there.
Angel Heart?
No, I haven't.
Starring Mickey Rourke and Robert De Niro... Where
Bobby D. No,
Bobby D. plays Louis Cipher.
Oh, I hear that out loud. That's Louis Cypher.
Yeah, just call me Lou.
Or so De Niro plays the devil?
Yes.
Can you do the accent? Or is it just the usual De Niro?
I couldn't do the face. He's got a big beard in it, actually. He looks quite different. And he eats an egg.
He eats an
weirdly.
Egg?
Weirdly. Yeah.
That's what they say about Satan. He eats a strange egg.
He eats an egg all weird.
Eggs of unnatural production.
Oh, maybe that explains the sulfur.
Oh, yeah.
Egg-bound. The devil was egg-bound.
That's the thing with these celebrities. We see the end product, a weird stink over a marketplace. We don't see the work that goes into it, eating loads of eggs.
Yeah.
12 or 13 eggs.
Probably 13.
It's 13 eggs. The evilest number of eggs. And the eggs would probably be like a horse's egg, like some impossible creature's egg.
Like how they keep eggs in the dairy section.
Whoa, you've just blown my mind.
Oh, a lot of supermarkets, they keep eggs in. Eggs are in the dairy section.
What?
They don't come from cows.
Never
mate.
Seen a cow.
It doesn't say what this lawyer called himself, but I'm imagining he would have called him something. My ideas for good devil pseudonyms are Bill Elzebub or Jeff the Devil.
You, before I came here, you said that I had to come up with devil euphemisms. I didn't know it was going to be lawyers, though.
It doesn't. You're yeah.
So my names that I came up with on the way here are Filthy Ronald, Mr. Crack Pepper, Baron Mischance, and Henry Winkler. All good devil pseudonyms. Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah. I haven't got a problem with any of them. So if we just add those to the names in this story,
the ones that I brought.
Yeah, are you going to give them less than five?
It's 5 out of 5. I don't know how it's 5 out of 5, but it is.
I've got you with a sort of devilish trickery. Okay, final category.
It's going to be a very poorly scoring category.
Corpse filching.
5 out of 5.
One for each ring on the finger. That one's not a ring.
I can't believe this has been... I think this is the most highest scoring.
It's the best
ever.
I've ever done.
Yeah. Because I'm normally tougher than this.
Yeah. It's like a little... It's like I sold my soul to the devil in order to...
Yeah, you're in a casino where you always
points.
Win.
Yeah, so that's your... I'm sure there will be no comeuppance for me. Yeah, I was chatting to this guy. His name was Dev Ill. And he was like, I can tell you how to... You do that podcast? And I was like, yeah, I do, actually.
You always score really badly because you don't choose categories with enough strategy.
Yeah.
You get outwitted by this ginger bloke.
Mm. Yeah, I've been after him for a long time.
I'm trying to think of more bad devil pseudonyms.
Lord of the Flies.
I'm trying to remember. I know more of the names of princes of hell than that. They're not famous, are they?
The artist formerly known as Prince of Darkness. Moloch.
Moloch. Yeah, that works.
Going on about, like, inadvertently reading out the sort of a satanic ritual. Because they're only words I've ever seen written down, would the ritual still work if I pronounced it all wrong?
Because a lot of people say Beelzebub, don't they?
Mm.
Or Beelzebub.
Do you reckon the devil would be a pedant about pronunciation?
I reckon the devil would be a pedant, yeah. Because all of his schemes are about sort of the letter of the law.
Mm.
You know, they sound perfectly reasonable until you read the fine print. Pandemonium? Pan's a bit of a weird first name.
Pam.
Pandemonium. That one works.
So I think the moral of that story is just watch what you say.
In case the devil's there.
In case the devil is within earshot.
A listening in.
Yes.
You've been listening to Lawmen with me, Alistair Beckett King.
And me, James Shakeshaft.
And him, James Shakeshaft. Please like, subscribe and recommend the podcast to a friend.
Oh, and comment.
Comment.
Yeah, make a comment.
But not within earshot of the devil.
Yeah, exactly. Do be careful of the devil.
The devil's in the details, people say.
Yeah.
And then you could get in there.
Right.
In the details.
Yeah, so when you sort of click, right click, view details. But, oh, it's the devil!
The devil's in there!
The devil making work for Idle Hans. Just a German guy. And Hans is like, whoa, I was just on a break, and now I've got a second career working for the devil, and we all know what the wages are. Death! The wages of sin are death! That's a terrible package. I wanted at least a cycle to work scheme.